Well, I greet each one of you again this morning in Jesus' name. I also extend a welcome to all of you. Especially want to give a special welcome to any of you visitors. We're glad to have visitors, glad to have others who are seeking the Lord with us. And yes, so welcome, and I hope you feel that. Welcome to each of you, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's good to be with you. I would like to, before I begin this morning, I'd just like to, maybe if we could all rise for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come again this morning. Lord, we seek your face. We come, Lord, recognizing that in us, that is in our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. We come, Lord, we realize that we must die if we want to live. If we want to bear fruit, we have to die. And so, Lord, it is our heart's desire that this soul flesh, this fleshly part of us, could die. And Lord, that we might live resurrected lives, lives that would glorify you, lives that would be a light and testimony to the world about us. Lord, you have told us to let our light shine so that the world might see our good works and glorify you. And that's our heart's desire. Father, I do pray now that you would just bless me, your servant here this morning. Help me, Lord, to share what you would have spoken. Lord, to be able to say it in the way that you would have it said. Father, I do pray that you would illuminate your word to us, that we might hear again what the Spirit would say to this, your church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Well, I'm not going to ask you to turn to this scripture with me, but I'd like to read it to you. It's a scripture that I believe comes from a book in the New Testament that has the fourth most chapters, and probably is the fourth least read book. I don't know whether I'm just coming up with those statistics about them, how much it's read, but it's certainly not one of the most read books here in among us or expounded upon the most. But I'd like to look at some verses from here. It's in Revelation. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high and had 12 gates. And at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, and 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel.
And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprase, and the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. I don't know whether I'm pronouncing those correctly, but somewhere along those lines. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I'd just be curious, in a group of this size, what are your thoughts? What is this speaking about? How many of you would say this is talking about heaven? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you think it's speaking anything else? Raise your hand. Okay, I have a couple that think it could be something. Brother Stanley, what else?
I think it might be both, but I wonder, could it also be the right word, description of the church, a symbolic description of the church.
Okay, symbolic description of the church. Anyone else think something else? Well, I didn't read the verse just prior to this, which gives us a pretty good indication of what it's actually talking about. Let me read that one. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And then it goes on, and he carried me in the spirit to a high mountain, and I looked down, and I seen. I think all of us recognize the bride is the church, isn't it? The Lamb's wife is the church. So when we read this, and I also agree that it can be describing heaven, so those of you raising your hand, and I know I kind of put you on the spot there and maybe kind of suggested it to you to get you to raise your hands. But I've heard people time and again when they describe heaven, they describe some of these things. Streets of gold and jasper walls and on and on, the pearls, the gates, the... We've all heard of pearly gates, right? Where do they get it? Here. But if you look at what it says, verse 9 says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Today, I'd like to look at the bride, the Lamb's wife. I'd like for you to admire her. That, I believe, is what this is meant to be. He didn't stand up. He didn't take him up onto that high mountain for him to look down and see all the things that are wrong with that city. He looked down and he seen magnificence. He looked down from that high mountain and he seen glowing city down below. He looked down and he seen the glittering of the walls. He seen the glittering of the streets. He seen the brightness of it. What do you see, my brothers and sisters, when you see the Lamb's bride, the church? What do you see? Do you see the warts and the pimples? Do you see the defilements? Do you see the cracks in the wall? Are you going up and down the streets and you see the potholes? Are you going up and down the streets and seeing the issues in this city? Or are you looking on that city with admiration? Are you looking on that city with awe? I would ask you to consider that maybe that's what God would have you to do. You've possibly heard saying something similar to this. Oh, I love the church. It's just the people that I have a problem with. Well, I have news for you this morning. If that's your mindset, there's no such a thing as a church without people. The people are the church. And if you can't get along with the people, you're not getting along with the church. And if you don't like the people in the church, you don't like the church. That's just the way it is. So if this morning you have a problem with the people in the church, then I would ask you this: whose problem is that? Now, I'm not saying that the churches are perfect. I believe there are some cracks. As bad as I hate to say it, there are some cracks sometimes in the wall. There are some potholes sometimes in the streets. But I'd like for you to look this morning and see the streets of gold. You will not find on earth another institution, another organism that compares to this one. And I'm not asking us here this morning to disregard the issues in the church. I'm not asking us to somehow just overlook when there are issues. No, I think you know me well enough to know that that's not my heart. But my heart is that we would, instead of focusing on those issues, we'd focus on the beauty of this bride of Christ, this bride of the Lamb of God, this city four square, as we have it described here, that you would look at its beauty and you would admire it, and you would do what you can to make it more beautiful. If you see cracks in the wall, what are you doing to fill those cracks? Don't go about shouting about the cracks. Don't go out and tell the world about the potholes unless you're doing something about the potholes. That's my heart this morning as we think about this. If you recall, last time I was here, I spoke about us being members one of another. I only got halfway through that message, and this is, I would say, is the sequel to it. It is the to try to finish off a little bit, or at least in a way, the other message. I'd like, if you wanted to turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 48, and I'd like to just take a little look at that. Again, I believe that we can This is speaking of Zion, which was Jerusalem. And here is what it says in verse 8 of Psalm chapter 48, verse 8. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever, Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Verse 12. I'd like you to think about this. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God, our God, forever and ever, he will be our guide even unto death. And I'd like to point especially to the last couple of verses there. Walk about Zion. That's what I'd like to do this morning. I'd like to walk about Zion. I'd like for you to walk with me about Zion, about this city. I'd like for you to ponder in your mind the beauty of this city. I'd like for you to ponder not some city over in Israel, Jerusalem, but the city of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like for you to ponder with me what that church means to you. I'd like for you to walk those streets and you admire your brothers and sisters for what they mean to you, the church. I'd like for you to not only do that this morning with me, but it would be my heart's desire that we could all together in the coming week, that we could go through the week walking those streets, admiring that city, admiring those bulwarks, as it says here. What does it say? Mark ye well her bulwarks. What are bulwarks? Bulwarks are these walls. They are this something to keep you safe. Admire them. Mark them well. Look at them. And say, you know what, those are for my safety. They're good for me. This is what they're for. The church has given me a safe place for me, a safe place for, if you're a husband here, my wife, if you're a father, for my children. And the other side of the aisle can do likewise. Mark well her bulwarks. Are you marking it? Is it something that's impressed on your mind? Or is it something that you take for granted? Is it something that you look at and you realize God designed this? This is not an institution of man. Do you realize that God fashioned this? This city is built without hands. It's four square. It's absolutely perfect. And yet, so imperfect. We can see the imperfections. We can see them in ourselves, I hope. Sometimes not as well as we ought, but maybe in our brother we see them better than we need to. And I do believe that, as you'll see after we get done with this here, I'll go on to another scripture. I do believe that that is part of the beauty, is that we do see those things. And that is strength. that makes those walls stronger is when there are those people who see the imperfections and do something about them. We're called as brothers and sisters to strengthen the walls. We are called when we see there's mildew growing on those sparkling stones to where they're not sparkling as well anymore, to polish them. We should do what we can to make it more brilliant and bright. Rather than us cursing the darkness, let's do something about it. Some of those gates, if you go there and you move them, will probably squeak. They'll probably creak. What are you going to do? Are you going to complain and grumble about squeaking and creaking gates, or are you going to get a little oil and put it on it? That's my challenge. What are you doing to make the city Foursquare, the beautiful bride of Christ? Are you admiring it this morning? What are you doing? And you know, I'll just say this. I am very blessed to be a part of this body. I'm very blessed with how you have polished my rough spots, how you have given words of encouragement when I needed them, how you have given me words of correction when I needed them. I appreciate that. I appreciate the safety in this city. I appreciate the beauty of this city. I want you to know that. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, ye also as lively stones or living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You as living stones. So again, we see that Peter here is using the same type of picture that we have there in Revelation and also in Psalm chapter 48 of a city with, and that's how they built their walls with stones or rocks and hewed out rocks and huge. All of those cities that were worth their salt, and that's not a term, I suppose, for cities, but if they were worth anything, they had walls. They were known for their huge walls. Jerusalem was known for it. Why did they have walls? To keep the enemy out, not to keep the church in. That's what the walls were for, is to keep the enemy out so that they could not get in. And I believe that the church today needs walls to keep the world out. And no, those walls are not just some rules and commandments that we come up with. No, it's not just that, but I believe it is part of it. I believe that's part of what the church does to keep the world out is to make specific and practical choices of what we're going to do as brothers and sisters in this bride of Christ to keep it spotless, to keep those walls beautiful, to make those gates of pearl that they shine brightly, to make it so that those streets are golden and those streets are streets that you can walk on without tripping and falling. I think it's essential that in that city that you can walk those streets, smooth streets, streets that you are not going to trip on or trip over things. And you can make the connection in your own life. It should not be that we as members in this body of Christ are tripping others up. In fact, it should be quite the opposite, that we are keeping each other from tripping and that we are helping each other when someone trips. The last time when I shared here before you, I had used for a text 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and there it speaks of members one of another. I'd like to this morning read another one that uses some of the same words pictures, and that's in Ephesians chapter. I'd like to turn there with me this morning. I'd like to just look, and I don't know if I can do this. There are so many pictures that we have in the Scripture, so many allegories in Scripture, and I'm going to try to flip from one to the other. I've already been doing some of that this morning. But if you look in Revelation there, you see that's exactly, at least that's what I see, that the Lord himself was doing when he revealed this to John. He goes from it being the bride, the Lamb's wife, to showing him a city. Well, I'd like to, now this morning, I'd like to do a little bit the same thing. I'd like to go from thinking about this city to now back to looking at a body and how it functions. We'll start reading in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner, and I, by the way, I'm reading this in ESV this morning, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, maketh the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that ye must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I'll stop there. For we are members one of another. Again, the taking it from the city to the body. And all of us are familiar with, to some extent, with our bodies. We all know, I mean, if I would probably, maybe I'll do that. Someone here 12 years or younger, can you tell me what this is that I'm holding up? What is this? Someone raise your hand if you know what this is. You know what this is that I'm holding? No one's going to raise their hands for that. Oh, yeah, okay, what is it? It's a finger, okay. So what is this? Anyone want to guess what this is? Yes. Oh, it's a thumb. Now, what is this? Yes. It's a hand. These young children know, they had it right, every one of them. They knew what I was holding up. Do you know what you are? Do you know what you are in the body of Christ? Are you a finger? Are you a thumb? Are you a hand? Are you an ear? Are you eyes? What is your function in the body of Christ? I think all of us probably have some ideas of what our function is. Now, I've heard these people that say, well, this is my gift, but the church won't recognize it. Well, what I would say to you is this. Exercise your gift in whatever way you can, wherever you can. And I believe that if it truly is your gift, the church will recognize it. And the church will use it. I know for me, I am so blessed with the gifts that the many of you are exercising. I am so blessed with the many of you who are exercising your gifts, and you are gifted uniquely. You know what? That's one of the things that's amazing to me about the human body. Did you know that in a million people, every single one has a different face? They have facial recognition software today that they can recognize millions of different faces. They're all different. Isn't that amazing? You would think, I mean, you only have so many choices, right? But no, they're all different. In fact, it's so good that they tell me that they're using it to catch criminals. They can catch them. We've known this for a long time. What about our fingerprints? Millions and millions of people, and every single one of us has a different fingerprint. You are unique. You have a gift. You have an ability. You have something that only you have. Others may have some of the same things, but you have a gift for this body. You have a gift that is meant for this body. You are uniquely you. What are we doing with the gift that God gave us? How are we using this? And again, I drove the point home, I hope, in my last message about how if you cut this finger off, it's no longer part of the body, and it's going to die. We must be connected to the body for us to have life. That's the only way. The only way for us to have life is as we are connected to the body. And the body only has life as it's connected to the head. The head is the Lord Jesus. The head must be the Lord Jesus, must continue to be the Lord Jesus. And that is the only way. And it is only as we have the head, we hold the head where the head ought to be, we keep the head where it must be, that the body is going to be able to function. We all know of people who've had brain either injuries or maybe born with brain abnormalities or something. And we know that they don't function normally. We want to function normally, don't we?
So let's hold the head where it ought to be. Let's keep the head where it needs to be. The Lord Jesus must be where all of these signals, all of these neurons come from to make that this body functions as it should. Again, I don't want to overemphasize this, but I think it's something that in human beings, the tendency can be, rather than seeing and admiring the beauty of the body of Christ, rather than admiring our brothers and sisters and their unique gifts that they bring to the body, we see pimples. We see some areas that aren't quite like they ought to be. You know, we see where their smile is crooked or whatever, you know. You name it, the things that you see that just aren't quite the way you'd like to see it. Rather than recognizing the beauty of each other and what they bring and what they are to the body. That's what my heart is this morning. And you know, as we see that, there is usually, it's just the way it works. If you emphasize the beauty that you see, it sometimes the pimples will leave. And maybe it's not because they don't have pimples anymore, but you just don't see them. You just can't even see them anymore because you just see the beauty. When you do, you are the benefactor. You're the ones that are going to be benefiting when we see that we are going to be the one that benefits from it. I'd like to just, as an allegory a bit of our body, talk a little bit about something that is another amazing thing about your body. I talk about our fingerprints and our facial recognition. Some of you probably use that for opening your phone. I use it for my phone. It knows you wouldn't be able to put your thumbprint on it and open it. But it'll open it for me every time. This is just dead software that's doing this stuff. We are lively stones, as Peter puts it here. I'd like to think a little about your immune system for just a bit. All of us have an immune system. And we can probably recognize and relate when I tell you that there are people who have a compromised immune system. There are people who, because of whether it's sickness, chemotherapy, autoimmune disease, there are various things that people have that has compromised their immune system. But what does the immune system do? Let me just read to you because people can describe it better than I can. When your immune system is working properly, it can tell which cells are yours and which substances are foreign to your body. It activates, mobilizes, attacks, and kills foreign invader germs that can cause you harm. Your immune system learns about germs after you've been exposed to them too. And we know this practically, like name this big thing COVID again. We know what happened. When people got COVID, they developed an immunity. They developed an immunity. That's what happened, is there was an immune response. Your body developed an immunity because it didn't. The first time it came, it didn't attack like it did the second time you got exposed to those germs. Second time it came around, the body said, "Nope, I know what happens. I know what you are. You're out of here." And killed them. Got rid of them. And you know, I'd like you to think about that and relate that to the spiritual. In a body that's functioning, that's working, that's what happens. Sometimes COVID does get in the first time. Sometimes some type of bacteria or virus is able to get through. But generally, the body develops an immunity. Now, there are exceptions to that, but especially with viruses, that's the case. Okay, going on.
Your body develops antibodies to protect you from those specific germs. White blood cells are another part of your immune system, serving as an army against harmful bacteria and viruses. White blood cells search for, attack, and destroy germs to keep you healthy. White blood cells are a key part of your immune system. We could go on and on. I'm going to go on to a couple of more things that are a part of your immune system. Your lymph nodes. You know, sometimes we think, I mean, I didn't mention this morning some of you being lymph nodes, but some of you are lymph nodes in the body of Christ, you know, and you have a function in the body. These small glands filter and destroy germs so they can't spread to other parts of your body and make you sick. They also are part of your body's lymphatic system. Lymph nodes contain immune cells that analyze the foreign invaders brought into your body. They then activate, replicate, and send the specific lymphocytes, or white blood cells, to fight off that particular invader. You have hundreds of lymph nodes all over your body. That's part of your immune system. Going on, I had a friend years ago who he was sitting in a deer stand one morning, and I think he fell asleep and fell out. And he injured himself, but he's one of these southern tough knots that it was hard for him to take advice. He was actually on the rescue squad with me, and he was someone that I'd known for years, loved and appreciated, a Christian man who I have admiration for, not from our church, but someone that I've had a lot of admiration for over the years, just the things that I've seen in his life and so forth. Anyway, an ambulance came out, picked him up, took him in, and he was there for a little bit and came back home. But he kept on having trouble. He kept on having something that was hurting a little bit. At the time, I had a service station, and one morning, he came driving in there, and I could see, his name was Rudolph, I could see something was wrong with Rudolph. He was white as a sheet. He looked as pale as they come. And I went over to his pickup, and he was just staring straight ahead. And I said, "Rudolph, what's wrong?" And he didn't even answer me. And I seen something was bad. And so I reached in and put his gear shift up into park because I was afraid of what might happen if I didn't. And I said, "Rudolph, I'm going to call the ambulance." And about then no. He didn't want an ambulance. I said, "Yeah, I'm calling an ambulance." I went ahead, and of course, I think I might have called his wife. Anyway, she got there, and by the time she got there, he was coming to a little bit more. But he was telling her, no, I'll be all right, I'll be all right. And she said, "No, you're going." Anyway, they took him, and that's what had happened, is his spleen ruptured. The spleen, and I'll read to you, your spleen stores white blood cells that defend your body from foreign invaders. It also filters your blood, destroying old and damaged red blood cells. That's one of the things that after that, he used to be one of the most healthy people I ever knew, as like I told you, a tough knot, but he wasn't able to fight off some of the sicknesses as well as he used to. And I'm going to give you a couple of more and not go into detail here because I'm going kind of long. But some of the other parts of your immune system are your tonsils and adenoids. Those are part of your immune system. And one of the things that Some of you have probably heard of T cells and B cells. T cells are some of those cells which attack those viruses and bacteria. And those are made by the T. What is the T? The thymus. It's something that is the largest in your body when you're first born, as far as it's the largest in correspondence or in relation to your body size. At that point, it's the largest in percentage-wise that it ever will be while you're living. It gets smaller as you grow older. But that is still an important function, and it's something that's more important in your younger years. But the thymus, it's a small organ up here in your chest. It's beneath your breastbone. It helps mature certain types of white blood cell. The specific task of this cell is to learn, to recognize, and to remember an invader so that an attack can be quickly mounted the next time this invader is encountered. All right. What I shared that about the immune system with you for is for you to, in your own mind, relate how that the body, the spiritual body of Christ, how it has immune cells. It has an immune system. It has, shall we say, white blood cells. It has a thymus. It has adenoids and you name it, a spleen. It has all of those things to work together to ward off disease, to ward off bacteria and viruses. I'm talking spiritual bacteria, spiritual viruses, spiritual dangers. But it is only as it's part of the body. It's only as that body is healthy that these things are working together, functioning together, making the body whole. That's the beauty of the body. And the reason I share that with you is so that you can stand up on that mountain as we began this morning with the Apostle John, and you look down and admire that city. You admire that city four square. You admire those streets of gold. You admire the walls of jasper stone. Admire it. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's amazing. It's, and you name the adjective that you want to put to it there. It is something that God Himself designed. You and I get to be a part of it. You and I get to be a part of this beautiful organism, the body of Christ, the city built without hands. It's natural for us to think our way is best, isn't it? If we didn't think our way was best, we would do it your way. But our way is best. That's where we need each other. We need to, as Brother Marvin shared with us from Philippians chapter 2, we need to have the mind of Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But what did he do? He made himself. He on purpose. He own accord. He voluntarily made himself of no reputation and took on him the form of a servant. Shouldn't we do the same? Shouldn't we have the mind of Christ? That same mind that humbled himself, yes, even to the death of the cross. Shouldn't we, brothers and sisters, have that same mind so that we can, as it says there in Ephesians, he put all the gifts in the church for the edification of the body, for the to bring us till we all come in the unity of the faith unto a perfect man, complete. Because our body is going to have viruses, it's going to have bacteria. There are going to be, in this world we live in, there are going to be attacks to the body. We need each other. Each function of the body. And I just named the immune system. There are so many, and there are lots more parts to the immune system than what I shared with you this morning. But those are some of the essential parts. I'd like to read a song that is a song that I feel like brings out this. It was written by a grandson of Jonathan Edwards. It says this: I love thy kingdom, Lord, the house of thine abode, the church our blessed Redeemer bought with his own precious blood. I love thy church, O God, her walls before thee stand, dear as the apple of thine eye and graven on thy hand. For her my tears shall fall, for her my prayers ascend. To her my cares and toils be given, till toils and cares shall end. Beyond my highest joy, I prize her heavenly ways, her sweet communion, solemn vows, her hymns of love and praise. Sure as thy truth shall last, to Zion shall be given the brightest glories earth can yield and brighter bliss of heaven. Let's bow on our knees. Yes, Lord, we come again. And Father, we are grateful. We are grateful that you, in your all-seeing, all-knowing, your great wisdom, have designed the body of Christ. Lord, and we recognize that we fall short of that glory. We recognize, Lord, that while we stand and admire, while we stand and gaze with amazement at how you have done all of this, yet, Lord, we recognize, Lord, that in us, that is in our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And so, Father, I do pray that each one of us, as we go through the days ahead, Lord, that we could labor, Lord, to be that part of the body that you have designed us to be. Labor, Lord, to enhance the body of Christ. Labor, Lord, to enhance that city foursquare. Labor, Lord, that we might shine as you would have us to shine. Lord, that those jasper stones, those emeralds, Lord, all of those beautiful works of your hand, Lord, that the world could see it and glorify you. Father, we desire, Lord, that this, your church, Lord, could prosper, could grow, could exude, could emanate, Lord, to all about that beauty of Christ Jesus' bride. Lord, we desire, Lord, a more fullness of it. Thank you, Lord, for each brother and sister here. I pray your blessing upon each one. I pray, Lord, that they might exercise their gifts to the full. Each one of us, Lord, that together we might be that harmonious body of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I believe that the Lord has spoken to us today. Thank you, Brother Simon, for letting the Lord speak through you. The message I'm going home with is I've been admonished and encouraged to look at the good things and not focus so much or let the bad things or the cracks in the walls, as Brother Simon said, be my focus. Maybe Brother Simon was speaking to me alone, and if he was, I accept it. Maybe he was speaking to you. And even in so saying, and I think Brother Simon also said this, that while we all know that there are some cracks we can look at, but there are also some very good things to look at. I wondered as he was talking, if possibly one thing we could look at specifically would be, I wrote in my notes here, we all have different personalities. I have a different personality than you. And we're all different. And sometimes those personalities can get in our way from seeing good things. And not necessarily are those personalities that get in our way bad. They're just different. So as we consider how to look at the church from the good perspective, we can consider to, is the personality getting in my way? If it is, let's just look at it as different, not necessarily wrong. I'm going to open up to you if you have anything you'd like to say. Excuse me. I'll get a microphone to you, and you can share what you have. Brother Stanley.
This goes a little bit more with the opening, but it actually ties in with what Simon was saying, too, about dying to yourself. I've had it happen in my life where I had to give up the way I was looking at things, open myself up to what I was being told by others. So when I then die to myself, so to speak, I was able to receive the blessing, new life, basically. That's the way I'll put it. Which also comes into the what Simon was talking about, that the different parts. Sometimes others need to speak into our lives, show us a different way, different perspective, different... We need to admit we don't know everything ourselves.
Anybody else? Brother Simon or Brother Amos?
I'd like to take the opportunity to thank God and thank the church for the difference that you all have made in my life. I was pondering this morning where I was and where I've come to. I remember a time in my life where I was embarrassed to be caught reading the Bible. 16-hour days was not unthought of for me in my early married years. I worked very hard and very long hours. And then when I took on to a spiritual hunger, there was more than once I would jump up from the breakfast table because someone knocked on my door and I didn't want to be found reading my Bible at 7:30 in the morning. And I just thought of, that's just one example of many, and it has to do with the way God has placed people in the body and the way we are changed, not just through reading God's word, but interacting with the body. Last Sunday, we were sitting in the O'Hare Airport, one of the largest airports in the United States, and listening to Brother Levi share about God's face and Brother Simeon about the message from Ecclesiastes. And it just, I just felt so connected. In the airport, thousands of people rushing around, but my heart was here. And I'm just so grateful for the good things. And I'd like to, with Brother Simon, be looking at the good things that God is doing in our midst and ask you all to, let's help each other Let's take Philippians 4 seriously. If there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things.
It's very possible. It's like... We've heard the saying many times, you don't know what you have until it's gone. Not that we want this to be gone, but it's quite possible that we don't know what we have. And it might be good for us to just consider if this was all gone, the blessings of this. It can make us realize how much we need this, how much we appreciate this. After all, it is God's design. It's not something man thought up. It's God's design. Is there anyone else? I thought of the relationship that Paul talks about in Ephesians between the marriage and the church, and how the husband and wife treat each other. And that is a picture of Christ in the church. And it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. This purchased body is something God, that Jesus Christ died for. He did that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Let's each one, while we have been admonished to appreciate the church, also take upon ourselves the responsibility of doing what we can to make it a glorious church, to make it a place where people come together and we appreciate and we love and we care for each other. And we show that. Let's each one take on that responsibility too.